So item 21 is for Ocean View Plaza, Community Services District, proposed discharge in Monterey County. And Dr. Peter von Langen of our staff will be making our presentation as soon as he can find it.
You know, if since you were going to put this on the, I was the one that, or I guess we had some, do we have some cards on it too?
Yeah, we have cards.
Okay. Well, then maybe we should go ahead with this.
Where are they?
Right here.
Here they are. Right.
However, I think your point is well taken that as far as staff is concerned, we're interested in having it on consent, so we can probably have an abbreviated overview. Did it disappear?
There are people here, we're talking about 22?
Yeah. Remember I said that they wanted to address the board as far as
okay.
The issue, and it wouldn't be until after 3.
Okay.
It is after 3.
Yes, I know. I'm well aware of that.
You're aware of that.
And
11. All right. We're ready to go here, more or less? Okay.
We have a Southport and a Southern Ocean Police Department. It's a desalination facility that was proposed for.
Is that close enough? Can't hear it.
Is that on?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just going to wing it here. It's we have a supplemental sheet for this item. It's a Cannery Row desalination facility for a development that's proposed for Cannery Row. It's a desalination project that's proposed to have approximately 0.1 million gallons a day of intake water from a subsurface intake built in the sand and discharge a brine after making drinking water from a reverse osmosis. And the brine will be mixed within 6 feet from a diffuser system from the discharge point to within 2% of the background salinity. So it's a rapid mixing of the brine discharge, and there's no impingement or entrainment because of the subsurface intake that's proposed at this facility. And we have representatives from the discharger that are here to answer any specific technical questions regarding the engineering.
Okay. Board questions?
I have some questions, but I think I'd rather wait till our attorney gets back.
Okay. All right.
Because I may need to.
You can go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I saw the supplemental sheet on this, and I think it was, well, there's some changes made, and I'm not really clear on what the supplemental, how that differs from what was exactly in the staff report, but I think the one, so you might comment on that, but the one question I have is regarding the statement that appears in several of these paragraphs. And I'm reading from page 2 at this point in the first paragraph. It states, if the subsurface intake clogs or otherwise fails and thereby renders the intake infeasible, the discharger will use an open ocean intake constructed, as it reads there. And you just said there is a subsurface design. So what is this a temporary or permanent condition or... At what point do they go from subsurface to open ocean?
It's expected that the subsurface will be used all the time. But if for some reason it were to clog and they still were going to make some reverse osmosis drinking water and potable water, then they would be allowed to have a surface intake that would have a velocity cap and other best management practices to reduce the velocity so that it minimizes intake, impingement, and entrainment.
But is that, does that become a permanent change, or is that only a temporary, like a plan B during repairs or something like that?
It's intended to be a plan B if there was a clogging of the subsurface intake, to give them a chance to go and use a cleaning device like a pig to clear out the subsurface intake.
So in other words, they're going to have two systems or two designs to their intake system.
It's two separate systems at the intake point. There's an extra pipe that could be brought up to allow for intake with a valve switching it over.
Right. So it'll be like a back and forth switch. They could go one way or the other depending on. But the primary. System is the subsurface, and you expect to see that operating primarily, not the other system.
Well, and if it fails, I mean, if it proves not to work at all, then obviously it's infeasible, and then they could switch to the open ocean intake permanently.
That's my question.
Yeah.
This
is actually was my question, too, exactly. And my concern is not so much with what I think that they're intending on doing, but with the language here, I think it's a little ambiguous. My concern is that the way the language reads, it doesn't matter what goes wrong with the subsurface system, they can automatically turn on the direct system and never have to mess with the subsurface one again. What I'd like to have it say is, I don't know if intake clogging renders a system infeasible, or if it just means that you have to go unclog it. So I don't like the use of this word infeasible, because it's sort of bandied around a little bit here, and it's one of those words that allows some wiggle room that I'm uncomfortable with in this particular case. Sometimes I like the wiggle room, but in this case I don't. So my suggestion is, let's see, if the subsurface intake clogs or otherwise fails, this order allows the discharger to use the open ocean intake described above until the subsurface intake is repaired. Well, within a reasonable amount of time. I mean, not 10 years from now. You know, I mean, I don't know how detailed we have to get there, but I mean, the way it reads now, I'm sure that's not what they intend, but
yeah, I think
I'm uncomfortable with it.
I think you may be looking at language in the fact sheet that's actually the language in the order we changed. So
I'm looking at the supplemental sheet.
The top of page 2?
The top of page 2, the seventh paragraph at the, I'm sorry, that middle paragraph there that refers to the seventh paragraph of the fact sheet.
Yeah, actually you need to look at you need to look at the language above that, because what you're looking at is the fact sheet, and the paragraph above it is very similar.
But I looked at that, and
the language in the order.
I don't like that either.
Well, I know, but I'm changing it to make it consistent with what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry.
So what it should say is, if the subsurface intake clogs or otherwise fails, the discharger will use an open ocean intake constructed of a single screen vertical riser that extends 2 to 3 feet above the ocean floor for a reasonable period of time until the subsurface intake is repaired.
That's right.
And make the same change in the fact sheet, which talks about this order allows.
That, right.
I do have a question, because I think there's some concern that the subsurface may fail or clog so often that it's not a feasible intake system, and at that point they could use the open ocean intake system permanently. So,
well, then if that's the case, they would have to make the finding. They would have to show us that it was infeasible.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But we should provide for that possibility in the order. And I don't know if you want to leave it to the executive officer. I don't really know what else to do other than...
Well, Mr. Bowker, you may have an idea.
Okay, well, two ideas. My first one was, should there also be a requirement that the permittee, permit holder, notify us if it fails?
We could put that language in there.
And then what would be our action if that would occur? I mean, how long do we wait? Because ultimately, if you go to a full-time ocean draw, that's a different can of worms than we're looking at here. We're looking at an emergency measure. But there ought to be some kind of...
Why don't we just simply say that if it fails, and you, I mean, if you want to really increase your confidence about this, what you do is you say, you give them a certain number of failures, you give them a certain number, a certain amount of time for each failure to come back to the subsurface, and then after a certain number of failures, they come back to have a new permit, a modified order, basically, saying, well, this was infeasible, here's why, here's all the data on why, do you want to, and here's the very best version of an open ocean withdrawal system that money can buy, and will you approve that? I mean, why don't you do it that way, if you want your confidence level to be the highest? It's a little more of administratively cumbersome, but you're not writing a blank check that way.
I think that if you want them to come back for a permit reopener, you don't need to put the standards in there on how many failures they have to have. I think between staff and the discharger, they can decide when they've gotten to the point where they need to come back and ask the board for a reopener. I think an alternative would be to say if it fails so many times within such period of time, then determine now that that makes it
infeasible.
That's what I'm
suggesting. So I think I'm suggesting the latter. You know, that excuse me. If it fails, what? How many times is a reasonable number? 6 times a year, 10 times a year, 4 times a year?
I think we should hear from the discharger on that.
Okay. Or staff on that.
The intake that was proposed for above the surface, originally that was looked at as best available technology before we got the report that the subsurface intake was feasible. The above the water or above the sediment intake has a very low intake speed of 0.2 feet per second, which compares to the standard for large power plants of 0.5 feet per second through screen velocity. It has a velocity cap and other means to slow the velocity down. And by looking at a comparison of this intake and the small volume that it's taking compared to power plants, it was something like on the order of a part per fish per year possibly being taken in. It was
okay, yes. I'm not disputing the open ocean version that is being proposed. I'm just saying that how often do we see a failure before we go out, before staff brings a reopener or asks for a reopener?
Is there an operating system like this somewhere?
The velocity caps that they show in the design, I've seen similar designs for other intakes on a...
No, I think you meant the subsurface.
Oh, the subsurface.
Oh, sorry, the subsurface.
Is there one operating somewhere?
I'm not aware. Actually, at Marina, they have some beach wells. So there are similar beach well kind of intakes, but I don't know how similar it is to this intake.
Because screens buried beneath, sand. I mean, it's just like a filter. they get plugged with the sand.
It's got an encasing that has a geotextile fabric on top that will keep the fine fabrics out, and then it has rocks on top so they can blow off these fine fabrics or these fine sediments if it ever
starts. So they'll back flush it?
Yes. And they have a little chamber without sediment to the side where they can put a pig through to clear out any sediment that gets in there.
Because in my opinion, when you go to this open ocean, it's like a mini power plant, cooling water. Anything that goes through does not survive because it has to go through that filter.
It is, in essence, a mini one. It's about 5,300 times less the volume of the power plant at Moss Landing on an average
basis.
So
it's still like 4,800 gallons a minute, isn't it?
And it has a much lower intake velocity, too. The power plant up at Moss Landing, I believe, has approximately a foot per second intake, which is higher than the standard for power plants of 0.5 feet per second. And this one is proposed to be 0.2 feet per second.
Why don't we hear from our speakers and Mr. Lombardo, and then we may get some thoughts on where we want to go with this. Okay? Mr. Lombardo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
Members of the board, Anthony Lombardo on behalf of the applicant, I guess the discharger. The city is, it's actually Monterey City Community Services District, and I'd like to say two things. First off, number one is all of the suggestions are fine with us. Not that Mr. Briggs probably doesn't have enough to do in his day, but we certainly have complete faith that if there is a failure, which we do not anticipate being frequent or continual, I mean, literally the ocean intake is capped off. It's not something you could throw a switch and turn on. If the subsurface intake fails, a diver has to go out and open the ocean intake. It's not designed to be used occasionally or frequently, because the plant also has a 3-day backup supply of storage water, potable water in it. So this is only literally, you know, I guess if Godzilla steps on the pipe or something and we lose the subsurface intake, that we would go to the surface intake. The design includes best management practices for the open ocean intake, as a staff member mentioned, 0.2 cubic feet per second, which is five times less than the Department of Fish and Game's concern velocity of one. So we've worked with the staff, with the Coastal Commission staff, with the sanctuary staff of the Department of Fish and Game to design a system that will not fail on a regular basis and will have no significant environmental impact. And that's not just a paid mouthpiece's opinion. That was the environmental impact report. That was two environmental impact reports that were prepared by the city and were challenged in court and upheld. So it's pretty much taken as, I'd say, a legal fact that we're going to use the best technology. It's not going to have an impact. And whatever of the suggestions from the left side of the table, no reflection on your politics, Gary, or from Dr. Press's side of the table, are fine with us. We have no problem reporting to the executive director and having the executive director, if for some reason, which my experts who are here today can't imagine, it became some kind of significant recurring problem, we'll come back and you can look at it again. The other reason I don't think that's going to be a problem is this is only an interim project. The city of Monterey was more or less required or forced into this by the failure of our local utility, Cal-Am, which I'm sure you're all sickeningly familiar with, to provide us with a community water supply. This CSD is only interim. It goes away as soon as there's a community water supply. By condition of approval of the CSD and by agreement with California American Water Company, the day that there's another water supply, whether it's a Moss Landing plant or a dam on the Carmel River or the ASR project that the member of the state board mentioned this morning, this stops operation immediately. So we're talking about an interim supply project only for the time period, which is hopefully not geologic, that we'll have another water supply project for the Monterey Peninsula. At the risk of digressing slightly, This is a very important project. It's the last project on Cannery Row to finish the Cannery Row plan for the city of Monterey. It preserves, it's the only project to preserve the original, the last original cannery on Cannery Row. The Stohan's Cannery is being turned into a museum and preserved as the last bit of Cannery Row as it existed when I moved there. The public plaza, there's a public plaza on the ocean side, there's a community facility on the ocean side, there's a public park on the trailhead side, which has an unobstructed view over the old cannery to the ocean, which is unique in the Cannery Row area for the Monterey City Trail system. The project is retail on the first floor, which is the allowed use, residential on the second floor with roughly 30% affordable housing, which is also unheard of on the Monterey Peninsula. And finally, the project has volunteered to pay $2 million to the city to improve traffic on the Cannery Row side of the tunnel there. As you can see, these are, this explains why the city was so interested in having this project built sooner than later. It provides a tremendous amount of community benefit, and as I said, it provides apparently, according to the experts and your staff, no environmental degradation. So this is not, this is a very small project for a very limited period of time, assuming our community gets its act together, and any of the suggestions made by the board members is fine. The staff report is very thorough. Unfortunately, technology of my mouth apparently works better than PowerPoint, but Peter has a lot of detail, and our consulting engineers are here as well if you have any questions.
Thank you for your comments. Sarah Corbin, followed by Connor Everts, and then Gordon Hensley.
Good afternoon. Hopefully you won't be sick of me by now. Sarah Corbin, Surf Rider Foundation. First of all, I just want to make a quick procedural comment. We're pleased to hear that the Ocean View Plaza Community Services District will be required to construct seafloor intakes, as noted in the recently provided supplement. They are the best available technology given the location of this desal facility. However, it is concerning that despite the board's recognition of this best available technology, or the staff's recognition of that in its report, the board was ready to move forward with permitting a facility using the older technology before the supplement came out, that older technology being the open ocean intake, without first requiring completion and submission of a feasibility study for the subsurface intakes. I just make this point in hopes that in the future it'll be a consideration that can be incorporated. Other than this, there are a couple other concerns that Surfrider wishes to voice with this desal facility. Firstly, the Ocean View Plaza development project on Cannery Row has actually been on hold for several years now. It first started out under the name of Cannery Row Marketplace, and it's still unclear if the entire development project, of which the desal facility is just one piece, will be able to move forward. In fact, the City of Monterey and the development company are still actually tied up in litigation over the governing body that was established to oversee the management of the desal facility. If a decision against the city and the company is reached in this appeal case, the approvals of the Community Services District would be voided until compliance with CEQA is found. Secondly, since the desal facility is unique, for most proposals, it's actually project-oriented, designed, you know, solely to serve this private development project, as opposed to, you know, California American Water would be serving their residential and commercial customers that already exist. It seems prudent that all permits and approvals for the development portion of the project be obtained before permitting the desal facility. And I don't mean to turn this into a, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg type of argument, but I think it's a reasonable consideration considering that, you know, if we approve this desal facility standing alone and the development project isn't approved, then we've got a running desal facility for what? There are several other discrepancies just amongst federal and state agencies, notably NOAA and Department of Fish and Game. I know that it's been mentioned earlier. But a permit for discharge into the sanctuary from NOAA has not yet been granted. Neither has a permit from Fish and Game. You might know that the intake of the Ocean View Plaza desal facility is actually sited in what is now going to be the Edward F. Ricketts State Marine Conservation Area. as of April 13th of this year, as approved by Department of Fish and Game. And take of all living marine resources is prohibited in this area, except for recreational take of finfish and commercial take of kelp. Anyway, I think these are also additional matters of concern that should possibly be looked into and addressed and incorporated into this permit before moving forward today. Thank you
for your comments.
One question.
Dr. Hunter.
Sarah, do you happen to know what the status of the Coastal Commission permit process is?
They still require further information. They require approval by other agencies before they'll even look at it.
Okay.
That's
Thank
my
you.
Understanding.
Okay. Connor Everett.
Yes, thank you very much. My name is Connor Everett, co-chair of the State Desal Response Group. I've given staff my contact information, and I wish I had more notice on this issue, but I appreciate the work staff has done and the conclusion to go to subsurface intakes, which through my understanding, I've been working on this issue since the late 80s statewide, but currently that it is not an option to use an ocean water intake according to the Water Code 13142.5b. We have found that it is feasible to do a subsurface intake, but this is a unique precedent you're setting here. Unfortunately, the regional water quality boards are forced to deal with water supply issues. There isn't another plant that solely relies on all of its water from intakes like this at this time. There have been others in Marina, and there have been other intakes statewide. It deserves more study to make sure the feasibility doesn't leave an option that isn't legal. The discharges into the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, let alone, and I have to speak for Barbara Bass Evans from Save Our Water Front Committee, was sick and not able to make it today. I drove up from Santa Monica, but saving the last part of the Cannery Row and not respecting Ed Ricketts' undersea lab by putting a resort development there isn't really saving the history of the area. So I hope you take more time and look at the reopeners you could use to make this to work, but I appreciate the work that's been done up to this point. This is just one of many proposals, but if the cumulative impact of putting every one of these developments in along the coast, especially within the sanctuary, would have huge impacts. Thank you very much. And I don't really see how we can compare it to a huge power plant. Those intakes are as illegal now as well.
Thank you for your comments. Okay. Mr. Hensley.
Gordon Hensley, San Luis Obispo Coast Keeper. I will be brief. My main comments really echo what Surfrider has presented and what you heard from Connor. I have not seen the supplement, and in talking to Peter earlier, some of my concerns may have already been addressed, but essentially I want to address the Ricketts Preserve. In the staff report, as it was originally written, it referred to the Ricketts Preserve, which is a much smaller, older, the Ed Ricketts undersea lab that you've heard about. The the staff report refers to discharge adjacent to that. However, as you'll see on this map, the new designation from the Marine Life Protected Act that's been going on, there is a new Edward F. Ricketts State Marine Conservation Area that the intake and discharge are right in. And Dr. Hunter raised this similar issue on the Los Osos item earlier. The prohibited, what the state marine conservation area does is it prohibits the take of all living resources except for a couple of outlined on that pink sheet that I gave you. There's nothing special about the pink sheet. That's what's in the copier. One definition of that is commonly used is that has to do with any activity that disrupts the essential components of the life cycle of the creatures you're talking about. Could be plants, could be animals. So it goes beyond kill. It includes this idea of harassment, and the essential elements of a creature's life cycle. My concern is especially if this project were to go back to the open water intake, that would present the possibility of a take much greater than the subsurface. Finally, I'd like to just remind you that the project is not built. It's not even under construction. There is time, and I urge caution in moving ahead in this. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Ms. Okun.
I'd like to suggest a change to finding N on page 7 of the order, the Endangered Species Act, to change the title of that finding to Endangered Species Act and Marine Life Protection Act. And after the first sentence, add a finding saying, nothing in this order allows a take in violation of the Marine Life Protection Act, California Public Resources section to be filled in at SEC, or any other law.
Sounds good.
Okay.
What page is that? Page 7.
It's just adding a finding clarifying that this order doesn't allow a violation of the Marine Life Protection Act.
Okay. Dr. Press.
I'd like to see some language about the open water intake. Basically, so you have 3 days of backup water. How about if you have a failure of your subsurface intake that lasts more than 3 days, and you have a failure that, let's say you have it twice in a calendar year, that's more than 3 days. Because what I hear you say is that, in principle, given the design of the subsurface intake and your potable water backup, you should not send that diver down to open up the cap, because you're going to flush out your problem and still be running water to your customer. So I'd say if it happens twice a year that you have to actually open the cap, then I think we come back for a reopener and we reconsider this permit altogether. That's a compromise that gets the project going, but it kind of lowers the boom automatically if you're really going to open ocean. So it's not a blank check at all.
Yeah. I might want to add to that, just to sort of close the other end of
that. By all means.
Is that if the open ocean option is used for longer than 30 days and they have to come back and explain what's going on. Because if it's just a one-time deal, then they would never have to come back.
Yeah. No, that's right. Yeah. That's right. So that's it. Twice a year, more than 3 days of failure, or alternatively, you could just say 30 days.
Well, or however long you think is reasonable.
Yeah. I mean, that's a long time also.
Well, 15 days.
Okay. Yeah, 15 days, twice a year.
Then we just want to know at that point what's going on.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you're suggesting reporting provisions, or you can't have an automatic reopener because you have to have notice provisions and you have to suggest some proposed language.
Case,
so you could put a limit on how long they can use the open ocean intake without coming back for a reopener.
Yeah, it's 15 days twice a year.
And at that point, they have to stop using it.
You have to stop using it, and then we notice a hearing, the next available or possible hearing, and we reopen this permit, right?
Well, that might not give them. That might be too much time between 15 days. They might have to stop using it before a month before they could get another hearing.
Well,
it'll be much longer than a month before they could get another hearing. It'll be three months.
My suggestion is if it's going on for 15 days, they're using the open, that they have to come back and tell us what's happening and what they plan to do about it. As a reporting requirement, not as a reopen.
Okay, that's a reporting requirement.
And then we can decide at that point whether we need to reopen.
Okay.
Okay, any other board comments or questions? We have some suggested language augmentations to the recommendation.
Makes sense.
We have a motion?
I move that we accept with our changes, the changes that Ms. Okun suggested, and then our changes on the use of the open ocean
intake. The limitation.
It's twice a year for
15 days
max. And then so that would say that in either case, any time you want to go more than 15 days, you have to come back. That's a reporting requirement. But I don't know if we put this in the order, but if they use it twice if they use the open ocean twice, then we're going to reopen the permit. I mean, I know you don't want us to do that, but maybe that's just direction to the EO.
We're going to have a status report.
Yeah, okay.
At that point, it's a reporting requirement, and the board can hear what's been going on, what's being proposed to fix the problem if it's fixable, and then we can decide what to do.
Okay.
No. Dr. Hunter.
Yeah, I just wonder, I know Connor Everts made some comments about BMPs, and I didn't hear enough from you. I'm wondering if you could help us understand how the subsurface system, what questions you were trying to get at with the subsurface design.
Well, the subsurface design, or what are often called beach wells or galleries, is the best management practice because you aren't drawing the water from the ocean column and you're not bringing anything in at that point. So that is really your only option. I don't quite understand the discussion that if you go beyond the available water supply of 3 days, how you're then going to go to an open water intake. I'm not following this. If you look at both the MLPA and the water code in Port of Cologne in terms of those requirements. And I know this is a difficult situation for regional boards to be put in because we're crossing a line into other areas of water supply. But it's very critical because there is yet to be another water source. We're just talking about the pilot for Cal-Am, and they haven't decided whether they're going to do beach wells or how they're going to get their water in recent discussions. So we're a long time off before we have another water supply that could be a backup source for this. So those are the questions I'm left with for all of you.
What does the code section say that he's referring to? Because I don't have it in front of me.
And while she's looking at that, I just want to remind Mr. Lombardo that there's nothing more permanent than something that's temporary.
The code section requiring a mitigation for intake structures? Is that what you're asking?
The code section that
was it 13.241
Everett. 13.142.5. Yes.
That's the water code, and it's referenced in your original staff discussion.
It says, for each new or expanded coastal power plant or other industrial installation using seawater for cooling, heating, or industrial processing, the best available site design technology and mitigation measures feasible shall be used to minimize the intake and mortality of all forms of marine life.
Yeah. Does having a backup that's an open
that's a
water column intake violate that section?
Not in my opinion.
And in our opinion, it does. So, and this issue also is going to the state board because you're not the only regional board dealing with this. We've been to San Diego and others.
Okay.
I would hope you'd wait until the state board makes that decision rather than having to go back afterwards.
If we waited for the state board to make decisions, we would never be deciding anything.
I understand that, having waited all day here today, but the state board... The state board is going to be hearing this summer, and because of the 316B ruling in February, it's already before them. Okay. And we've already been working with them on this for quite a while. Okay. This issue has been out there for 30 years in terms of ocean.
Well, okay, but so that means that if the state board ruled that the open ocean intake was not permissible under any circumstance,
correct,
then they would just have to build their subsurface without the open ocean intake. So I don't see how, in other words, if the state board says it's okay as a backup, then that's the interpretation of the code that we have to go on. So We can, so what I'm saying is that if we're wrong and we adopt this with the backup of the open ocean, we will be, it'll be, that part of our order would be invalidated, wouldn't it? By the state board's action. Wouldn't it, Ms. Olkin?
Well, it depends on the effective date of the state policy. If nobody appealed,
okay,
if nobody petitioned the order,
all right.
And it wasn't effective until the next permit renewal, then it wouldn't invalidate the order.
All right. Well, what do we think about a clause that says if the state board, even if it has an effective date after this today, essentially, that says that it's not a good interpretation of the code, that we'll go with the state board.
Let's ask Lori.
I am asking Lori.
And then what happens to the? I'm sorry, but then what happens to the project, which is relying on this as a backup source? It's their only source of water.
That's going to be their burden. That's not our burden.
Okay.
That's their burden.
Then they shut down.
Well, I mean that's the implication of what you're saying, isn't it? I mean isn't that what you're requesting?
That is the issue. I think that's the.
Well, I don't see what other conclusion to draw, but that's what you are asking us to do.
Yeah, I think that's the obvious conclusion in terms of the water supply as described by their attorney.
Mr. Chairman, I apologize, but this is rather unusual.
Do you use the microphone?
I know you suffered long today on a lot of items. I apologize for speaking out of turn here, but the code that your counsel read does not say what this gentleman just said. I mean, we have to comply with the state law. We have to comply with all laws. You're not, as your counsel said, you're not authorizing a take of any endangered species, nor are you authorizing a violation of Marine Life Protection Act. Mr. Shallcross and Dr. Press have described it to a T. I mean, we are using best available technologies, including the emergency intake. Fish and Game has no problem with the emergency intake either. So we will do that. We will comply with the law. And I think you just, between Dr. Press and Mr. Shalkoff, described conditions. We'll come back, report. Mr. Briggs will bring it back to you. If there's an issue at that point with the state, if they do what this gentleman said, we'll deal with it then.
I think we're there.
Thank you.
I think we're there. We're just right now at this point. I want to make sure we have some language that if the state board addresses this issue, that the permit will then be consistent with any state board policy.
If the state board issues a policy that's immediately effective for existing permits, the basis for reopening an NPDES permit are limited. And for new regulations, it's generally limited to changes in water quality standards.
Okay.
You can reopen a permit for new information. You could put in a provision saying, to the extent permissible by law, the permit will be reopened to comply with state board policies for their effective date.
Well, it's a five-year permit anyway.
Right.
Right, and by the time they get their project built, assuming it does get built, we're probably going to have a couple of years left on the permit, maybe.
Right. Well, the 316B policy isn't going to affect this, and I don't know anything about any desal intake policy the state board's working on, but
okay.
Which may suggest if they are working on such a policy, how far along it is. I would be surprised if it would include this level of detail anyway.
Okay. Well,
it seems like with the permit life and where the project is, you got your reopener built in within a reasonable amount of time.
Anyway, regardless, so I think we're safe enough.
I think I moved it already.
What? Okay.
But that's without concern for state board policy language.
Because we have so much reopener, we have a reopener possibility. We have a reporting requirement that will trigger that. At that reopener, we could then possibly have the benefit of state policy and decide that we need to make a change.
Okay.
And just so I'm clear on the language for the reporting requirements, what I wrote down, which embellishes a little bit on what you said, if the discharger uses the open ocean intake for longer than 15 days, the discharger will report to the executive officer within some period of time that we need to specify the reasons for the open ocean, for the use of that intake, and the discharger's plans to address the problem.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I want them reporting on day 16.
Lori, I thought that we could provide for a shorter renewal period than 5 years.
You can.
So why don't we just build in a trigger that the permit shall come up for renewal in the event that the state board changes its policy or addresses desal policy that would affect this permit.
I thought Lori just said we couldn't do that.
Well, you can do you can always do a reopener for new information, and that's already in all the permits.
Right.
Saying that the permit will expire if the state board does something, you don't want to do that. And I think what you're talking about is a reopener, and
okay.
I mean, you can make it a 3-year permit instead of a 5-year permit, but
right.
then you're looking at renewing it possibly 2 years early for no reason.
Right. Okay. All right.
Well, but let me suggest, I mean, these issues are being taken up right now by the Coastal Commission and some of the other agencies that are really concerned with open ocean, and I think a 3-year permit, we would see some of the outcome of that effort, and maybe some policy would have taken shape by then, because I think these issues are very, very high priority, especially for the Monterey Bay area. So I would advocate for a 3-year permit.
But we have enough reopener possibilities that we don't have to do that. I mean, it's going to take a while to build this thing, and you know, it's not going to happen
next Thursday.
It's the only
one we have. I still advocate for a 3-year permit.
Yeah, I think we're going to be back here too soon for what's going on.
Yeah, I'd like to kind of second that comment. This is something that has not been built. At this point, it's probably going to be quite a while before it's actually up and operational. And I think giving them a very short time frame, they might not get it open by the time the permit sunsetted.
And the Coastal Commission also has to issue a permit for this. So if they're the ones developing the policy, they can incorporate that into their permitting process.
Mm-hmm. Monica, it sounds like there's a safety hook in there already.
I think the other agencies are looking to see what our decision is as well. I think we need to signal our concerns. I think, you know, building in the reporting.
Yeah, I think that's done it.
Is
I think
one step, but
right.
another step would be to shorten the time period so we have a real point at which we can review this issue.
I don't think it's realistic.
But our review is really dependent upon the State Water Board's review.
We could reopen it next week if the state board decided something. We could say new information, reopen.
Okay.
So it doesn't need to be 3 years.
Okay. All right.
Okay, we do have a motion that has been seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor of the motion as amended?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Dr. Hunter has opposed the motion. All right. Thank you very much. We are.
Supposed to be out of here by 7.
Our next item is, we have to be out of here by 7?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
Duplicated all this stuff.
By 7.
Yeah, I was just going to explain quickly. Can I see if these folks are still here? They are. Okay. Oh yeah, I see them. Mm-hmm. So.